everyone, and welcome back into a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by a wonderful artist today, here to talk to us about a great new show happening here in New York City. Joining us today, we have the director, Adrian Campbell Holt, who's here to talk to us about her show, Still, which is playing now through May 18th at the DR2 Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting telecharge.com. We're always so excited to be bringing you a new work happening here in New York. We're very excited about this piece in particular, not only because of its venue, but actually just the show itself is so wonderful. So let's bring on the person who's perfect to speak about this, our guest, Adrian Campbell Holt. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy to be here.
So thrilled that you're here. I'm so thrilled that we're talking about this great new play, Still. And can we start by having you tell us a little bit about the show, Still?
Absolutely. So Still is a new play by Leah Romeo, and the play kind of considers the central characters are two people in their 60s who dated about 30 years ago, and they've gotten together for a reunion drink in a bar. And we, you know, come to find out, you know, much more, but I won't give anything away. I will say that the play really grapples with the distance between our public and private selves, with sort of what happens if you love someone, but you hate some of the things that they believe. It asks if it's possible for people to change, what compromise looks like in a romantic partnership or even in a friendship. And it really kind of interrogates how we wrestle with our own past actions and move forward. And, you know, these two people are sort of like on this precipice in their lives, their final act. And, you know, they're grappling with aging and mortality and loss and regret, and also, like all of us, looking for love and looking for the thing that makes us want to keep going. And there's a lot of lightness in this play and a lot of love, lots of different kinds of love.
I love that. What a great story. So how did you come upon this show?
Oh, I feel so lucky. So I got paired with Leah for her final Juilliard show last winter. Juilliard was doing a new thing last year where they were putting together something called the Norman Festival for their graduating playwrights. And I got to work on this play by Leah called The Agency, which is also a fantastic play. And I hope to be back on here speaking about that soon. But, you know, I immediately like fell in love with Leah's writing and with working with Leah. And so one day I knew I was like going to be on a long travel day. And I said, send me all your plays. I want to, you know, we were in the middle of rehearsals for The Agency, but I said, I want to know, you know, what else you've written. And it was an Amtrak train from New York to Boston. And before I had even gotten to New Haven, so less than 2 hours into the train ride, I had already, with Leah's permission, sent the play to Tim Daly, sent the play to Dorset Theater Festival. I knew I wanted to do the world premiere of the play. And it was just a matter of figuring out sort of how quickly we could make it happen, because I knew it is a play that intersects with a lot of the sort of political, sociopolitical tension and conflicts that we are experiencing as a society. And it felt like I felt some urgency to do this play and for audiences to see and think about this play. And I was really excited by what sort of it could do for the world, actually. And that sounds quite grandiose, but it just, I love art that means something, and, you know, that is entertaining, but that also has some impact. And I, you know, that was January 31st of last year, and we got to do the world premiere in Dorset, at Dorset Theater Festival in Southern Vermont, right near the Berkshires, in July. And this same cast, the same design team, we knew we wanted to do it in New York. It was received very well in Vermont. And I had the opportunity to, because I run a theater company, to quickly, you know, produce it. And fortunately, when we did an industry reading in September, many sort of you know, producery people were there, including Daryl Roth. She heard the play, fell in love with the play, and, you know, welcomed us into her incredible theater. And so from there, we, you know, this was the soonest that we could do it because Tim was committed to Night of the Iguana. And so we, you know, we got the fam back together, and we just are ready to, you know, now share it with the New York and beyond audiences.
So fantastic. What a journey the show's gone on.
It has. And it also, it really is cool to, you know, I've never done a kind of like remount this close to the original production. I think we were talking about this, and the designers and I like feel like usually it's a year or more that you're sort of like waiting and getting some distance. And this play, it feels like we never really put it down, but it also deepened in all of us. And, you know, life things happen for people involved with the show that made moments more meaningful. And it's been a very full 7 or 8 months to this moment to now be, you know, doing this production. And, you know, physically, it's a quite different production. The Dorset stage is the same, you know, sort of physical footprint as most Broadway houses. It's quite large. So the DR2 is intimate. And so we're really excited to, the DR2 feels like a perfect play for this, a perfect venue for this play. And also I love that it sits well in both. And I think that suggests it has legs beyond the DR2. And I hope, I would really love for this play to have a national tour, because I think this audiences all over the country are ready for this, the conversations that this play inspires.
Yeah, brilliantly said. Now, I'd love to know, what has it been like working with the show's performers, Tim Daly and Jane Atkinson?
They're just the worst. I mean, they're just, they have no talent. They're really difficult. They have no warmth about them, no sense of humor. No, just the opposite. This is Tim and my sixth production together. So we're like very good old friends, very, you know, easy kind of artistic shorthand. And because Tim and Jane were friends preceding our work on this play, they have like an incredible ease with each other. And I feel like Jane and I are, you know, sisters from another mother. You know, yesterday I brought her some lavender and she was like, of course, you know that I would love lavender. And I was like, yes, because we're both wildflower girls. And, you know, just, I love the dynamic. I feel so lucky to be working with actors who have such rich stage craft, and their stage muscles are so finely, you know, tuned. And in, you know, in a play that relies so much on chemistry, it's really, I'm very grateful that they have great chemistry. But we're all having a lot of fun together, like too much fun.
Is there such a thing in the theater? No. I love that though. That sounds amazing. It's so wonderful when you're surrounded by people of like that great, you know, it makes the process and even the product itself that much better, you know?
Yeah.
So what is the message or thought you're hoping the audiences will walk away from Still with?
I guess I love that this play sort of asks quite a few questions and encourages us to reflect on things that we currently believe and things that we may have believed in the past and what's underneath our belief systems and what I think it inspires like great compassion in people. Just the other night, a friend of someone who I knew wrote to us after the show and said the experience of watching the show had compelled them to like have much more sensitivity towards people who like think differently, have different beliefs about reproductive rights than they hold. And while they aren't like changing their mind about that, it feels really important to like consider people's humanity and like where people's values and points of view, what's underneath them. So I feel like this play, I hope that people walk away from this play talking about what happened. I think there's like a mystery to the end and kind of like debating what they want to happen and what's possible for these two characters. And actually, I really have heard from many people who've seen the play that it inspired them to reach out to someone from their past that they may have fallen out of touch with. And I think, you know, even just to have a conversation, I love when theater and art like inspires that connectivity and compassion in people.
That is so wonderful. I love that. I want to sidestep now and talk to you about the producing company of the show, which you run, which is Colt Core Theater Company. Can you tell me about the mission of this company?
Absolutely. So I founded Colt Core 14 years ago with a wonderful group of like-minded theater artists who were really excited to make work from scratch, to kind of roll up our sleeves, make work in a way that we weren't being invited to yet, either because of where we were at professionally or because American theater doesn't tend to make work the way that we wanted to make work, which is a very democratic, non-hierarchical process. So while, you know, I was the director on our first piece and the majority of the pieces that we produce, when we're creating from scratch, the actors and the designers and the playwright all have real authorial voice in the generative sort of process. It's not unlike, you know, some of the companies that we've been inspired by that work more often in Europe, like Complicité or Théâtre du Soleil. And I love the sort of impulse to empower artists to not just stay in their lane. And we founded in 2010 after creating a piece of work together called 7 Minutes in Heaven, which was Stephen Levinson's play inspired by the games that you play at a party, that you would play at a party in the 90s if you were 15, and which, you know, we may have had some personal experience with. And from there, you know, this company has, our mission is to make theater that pulls you close and doesn't let go. And I think what's really unique about us is that developmental process that we've used on the majority of the shows we produced, where we are creating from scratch as a company. We, you know, the work tends to be quite singular, work that can only be made for the theater. And also the dialogue and characters are made by the actors playing those roles. So there's a real like sort of specificity and texture to it that I think comes from just the trust that exists when people know each other really well and they're offering, you know, they're just, you know, I think like the Cassavetes films kind of like worked in a similar way where, you know, Gina Rollins like improvising and it ends up being like, you know, feels like the, you know, most true, most powerful dialogue. And of course it's like, if you look at a screenplay of it, it's like, makes no sense on the page, but somehow in performance, it's profound. I think, you know, I and many of the company members were really inspired by that kind of work. And we've done 18 premieres in New York over the last 14 years. Some of our shows that you may have maybe aware of are shows like Eureka Day by Jonathan Spector, Dryland by Ruby Ray Spiegel, Empathitracks by Anna Nogueta, Hate Fuck by Rihanna Loomers. And yeah, we work at theaters all over the city. And we also have a quite robust like education and mentorship program and a residency program for playwrights, directors, designers, and producers.
That is all so wonderful. What great work you all are doing there. That's exciting. I want to come back to your show. And I want to know, why did you feel Still was the right play for Colt Core to produce this season?
Great. I'll be very candid and I'll share that, you know, when I first was thinking about Still existing beyond the Dorset Theater Festival production, because of the stature of the actors in our Dorset production, I was imagining that we would, that kind of Colt Core was too small of a stage for their star power. And I was, you know, when we were in conversation with some other theaters about doing the show, because of a number of reasons that we all understand, you know, the backlog meant that we would have to wait at least one season. And the actors and Leah and I all felt so strongly that this play really does want to like move forward as quickly as possible and reach people now, especially in this election year. You know, the characters, the play really does like intersect with this cultural moment. And I was hesitant to wait a year and sort of lose that momentum, actually. So originally Colt Court didn't have a slot available, and we were really excited when Daryl's invitation to do the show at her theater kind of meant that we could shift things around. And when Tim had seen a number of Colt Court productions over the years and knew my work well and trusted me and convinced Jane, you know, to do this off Broadway 99 seat house when, you know, she's Tony nominated. She mostly works on Broadway, you know, or stage and screen or on screen. And I think there was so much trust and such an understanding that this theater venue could really serve this play that we all decided it did make sense. And that was, you know, especially kind of moving to me given Colt Court's track record. And I think also like one of the values of Colt Court is to center characters and tell stories that are not being told enough for a variety of reasons. And I can say that, you know, this is a play that I've never seen two people in their 60s allowed to be sexy on stage. And I think that alone makes it like, you know, we historically have done a lot of shows with a lot of young actors or younger writers where they're kind of we're helping launch their careers, and that's not the case here. You know, Tim and Jane are launched, but they're not getting to play these characters, and audiences are not getting to see these stories. So it did align with our mission, and we felt like it was a good fit.
That is also spectacular. I love that. Well, and you've built a perfect lead into my final question for this first part, and that is, who do you hope have access to still?
Yes. So we, you know, Colt Court believes firmly in like accessible tickets, and all of our shows in April have $10 tickets available, $10 tickets available. We also have, you know, $25 student and artist tickets available at the box office. So kind of keeping our audiences, keeping the ticket prices not prohibitive for young people, for artists, for students. We also have this wonderful new initiative called COCO for All, which is a ticket subsidy program. So ticket patrons can sponsor tickets for other people. Like we just had a huge group from Juilliard come of students. We have all of the families and alumni of our education initiative getting free tickets to the show. So that's super important to us. And, you know, I think people who know Tim and Jane are very aware of the show. And now I am just really eager to get like everyone else into the show.
Well, for the second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
One artist who inspired me quite a bit on this piece is Marina Abramović, specifically the piece she did at MoMA, where she sat and people could come, you know, line up and sit with her. And on the opening night, she was, you know, she was never told who would be showing up. An ex of hers sat down, and she always creates like rigid constraints and rules for her kind of performance pieces. And, you know, the rules had been established that she would make eye contact but no touching, and she was so overwhelmed with emotion, seeing this old flame of hers that she, they both started crying and like reached across the table and held hands. And it's a very moving, nonverbal event. And that, and then I think they both have, he also was an artist and, you know, they were together like over 40 years ago or something. So it was a very profound sort of piece. I, you know, I'm super inspired by photographers. I really love Gordon Matta Clark. I, you know, Gregory Crutzen, Robert Eggleston. I love playwrights. I love Jocelyn Bio. I love Annie Baker, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. I tend to love new work that is innovative and, you know, where the kind of language sets helps you understand the world. I have been lucky enough to, like, you know, be close with some directors that whose work I find very inspiring. Annie Kaufman, Alex Timbers, Jack O'Brien, Sam Gold, like sort of all over the map. Lila Neugebauer. Yeah.
It's a wonderful list. Some great, great names on there. And that opening piece you mentioned, oh, my heart just got so full thinking about that. Just
I also want to shout out the design team on Still, because they are so spectacular and have been such great dramaturgical collaborators. And, you know, because this was a world premiere, you know, things that we created together then informed the text and lead. So Alexander Woodward did the scenic design, who, you know, whose work on the sound inside on Broadway was so incredible. Reza Bejat did the lighting design. Hidenori Nakajo did the sound design, and Barbara Bell did the costumes. And, you know, there's this transition moment in the play. And when we figured that out, then Leah was compelled to have one of the characters say, you know, it feels like the world just disappeared there for a few minutes. And it did. The world disappeared for a few minutes.
That's beautiful. Oh, to be a fly on the wall in that room. That's amazing. Well, I know you've been very busy with getting the show up on its feet, getting it open. Well, not open quite yet, but, you know, getting it for an audience. But have you had the chance to see any great theater lately that you might recommend to our listeners?
Yes, I highly recommend Appropriate, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins' show. I got to see it at the Hayes, so I haven't seen it at the Belasco, but I loved the actors. I love that script so much, and I love the design and Lila's work. So I highly recommend that powerful evening in the theater. And I also am so excited to see Mary Jane, because I got to see it at New York Theater Workshop a few years ago, and I love Amy Herzog's play and Annie's direction. And I am a longtime fan of Rachel McAdams, so I'm very curious to see her on stage. And it's just such a moving play. And I'm very excited that it's on Broadway.
I love that. I can't wait to see Appropriate myself. And I'm excited to see Mary Jane as well. Two great shows. And just the names alone in the credits, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I need to go see this stuff.
Yeah. Also, the Liza Birkenmeyer play Grief Hotel at the Public in the Club Thumb.
Yes.
It's so spectacular.
It's brilliant. That storytelling style was so good. Oh, I had such a great night. Well, let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I love getting to work with other artists who inspire me and make me want to be a better artist. And I love, as a director, that my brain is so stretched and my imagination so active. And, you know, I love that I get to think about visuals, and I get to spend a lot of time thinking about punctuation, and I get to spend a lot of time thinking about cues and about actors and talking with actors and talking with designers. And as the artistic director of Cult Core, I love thinking about how to reach and find an audience and how to create an experience for the audience that's complete and rich and, you know, taken care of. So it's sort of like, I love how much it stretches me as a human and makes me a better person. And I'm feel very lucky to be a parent. I have two children. And I feel like there's some similarities to being a parent and being a theater director.
That is such a wonderful answer. Oh, I love it. And now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
The first thing that comes to mind is the experience of seeing a play called Mnemonic in 1999, possibly 2000. That was at the Lincoln Center Festival by the group Complicité. And the play began with Simon McBurney asking us to close our eyes and reach under our chairs. And there was a plastic bag taped to the chair, and there was a leaf inside. And of course, everybody had a different leaf. And he just asked us to feel the veins of the leaf. And he sort of segued into a monologue about his girlfriend breaking up with him and losing his mom. And then the play, you know, went off. But I just felt like that sensory moment was very unique. I'll never forget it.
That sounds incredible. Absolutely incredible. Who would have thought to incorporate the idea of touch for an audience, you know? What a wonderful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, as we wrap things up here, I would love to know if our listeners want to get more information about you or about Still at the DR2 Theater through May 18th, how can they find it?
Great. So for Still, go to coltcore.org, coltcoeur.org/still, or just go to the Colt Core main page and you'll find it. And about me, my website is adriencampbellholt.com, AdrienCampbellHolt.com.
Wonderful. Well, Adrian, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. This has been such a blast, such an honor. I'm so excited about this show and so excited for what you and your company continue to make. This is just so wonderful. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and I really appreciate this care and attention.
Thank you. My guest today has been the director, Adrian Campbell-Holt, whose new show, Still, is being done at the DR2 Theater now through May 18th. You can get your tickets for Still and more information by visiting telecharge.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in the episode description as well as on the social media posts. But right now, get yourself to telecharge.com. Get your tickets for this amazing show, Still, playing now through May 18th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.